Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Johnny.
This is Dolce.
Play on!
Hello and welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we're your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello and welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Oh yeah.
Young Jeff.
We are still surviving this freaking heat wave.
I know.
It cooled down and then today it was it got hotter again and it's going to rain the next 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where I am.
And, you know, we got a few more days until the last day of summer. So we'll see what happens.
When
and
is
if
that?
It just is Monday.
Heard.
I'm like, come on. Come on, 60s.
I am
60s.
Ready to throw on a long sleeve.
I know. For the love of God, give me a reason to wear something
and
long.
And a light jacket.
Exactly.
It's literally all I want.
Because I have it. I don't know about you. The only long sleeve I've even been able to wear since probably last winter is a flannel. And even then, it's just backup.
I know.
Because you don't need
it. Even like some of my jackets are pretty like heavy duty jackets. And I'm like, I don't even wear these sometimes like throughout the winter year because winter season, because it's not that
it's cold, not cold enough.
But it's like, it's 60, 65.
Yeah.
But
crispy.
It's still like nice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like this, but also like, whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Climate change.
I know.
Anyway, in some additionally sad news, though, much sadder than our current climate.
Yes.
Well, is it? I don't know. Maybe not. Iconic actor and filmmaker Robert Redford passed away this week at the age of 89.
Man.
We, of course, may know him best as Alexander Pierce, the Hydra operative and double agent for the U.S. government responsible for the Winter Soldier project in modern ages in Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Like, damn, icon. That man, icon.
A fun fact I read about him, about like that role specifically, I think Robert Redford is... He doesn't ever repeat roles like twice.
Mm.
Like doesn't, you know, come back for like sequels or whatever.
Yeah.
But the only time he did was for Endgame. Because he had to, you know. Was it Endgame? Oh, it was.
Infinity
it was
War?
Endgame.
Was it?
Or was it in Infinity?
I don't remember.
It was when they went to, is when they went back in time to 2012.
Yeah.
And they're walking out with the case.
Yeah.
So that was the second time he
actually reprised a role.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge. Especially for somebody as established as Robert
Redford.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, he was amazing. He's always amazing. Well, yeah, sad and rest in power to Mr. Redford. But in lighter news, reminder once again that Marvel Zombies makes its animated series debut Wednesday, September 24th with a full 4-episode series drop. So it's all coming out at once. Everyone can enjoy it all at once. And I still haven't watched Eyes of Wakanda, but I'm tuning in for Zombies.
Yes.
I'm going to try and plow through Eyes of Wakanda at some point. At some point.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
I'm legitimately horrible at watching shows.
I know. And
gosh.
I'm even worse with animated series. Like, I really try.
Yeah.
But, like,
I agree.
Like Spider-Man, it was tough for me to lock in every week. What If? Same thing. What If was a little different.
Yeah.
It's animation for some reason.
I
don't know why. But I locked into What If a little more for obvious reasons, because it's like MCU-ified.
Yes.
So it was like, okay. But animation, it's tough for me. With the exception of X-Men. X-Men is like the only cartoon.
I mean, valid, yes.
So we'll see. But I'm definitely going to be there for Marvel Zombies, and hopefully you will be too. And then before we jump into this week's episode, Fantastic Four First Steps is officially available on digital this Tuesday, Woo! September 23rd.
Oh, yeah.
And then on Blu-ray, October 14th. So have yourself a marvelous week next week because, yeah, it'll be Fantastic Four time and then Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
Full speed ahead. And so that must mean that the marketing endeavors will then switch over to Wonder Man.
I mean, right? Wonder Man has to be.
Yeah.
Because no, they still haven't dropped an official trailer.
No.
Or a teaser trailer.
So one could expect that maybe Wednesday we'll either get a Wonder Man trailer.
Yeah.
Or a teaser trailer of some sort.
Yes.
And that would make sense for timing if they're going to do a proper marketing run.
Yeah.
For this series, which I hope they do.
I agree, because that comes out in December.
Yeah. Yeah. End of year. It's the end of year series. So we'll see. But yeah, tune in for all the good things. All that said, are you ready to get into this one, Jeff?
Woo!
But first, a reminder, we are not experts and we don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out in this episode. We are nerding out about Johnny Storm.
Oh, yeah.
The Human Torch.
Very fitting because it is hot as hell today. Oh my God.
True dat. Jeez, Lisa. You know it's hot when the AC is struggling.
Oh,
you just know.
Yeah.
The windows are open. Still doesn't do anything. So, related episodes to this one. 115, Invisible Woman, obvious reasons.
Yep.
114, Mini Marvel, number 19, which is Fantastic Four First Steps Review. Yeah, we just get right into it. And so a lot of this episode is going to double up on our previous episodes. So we're going to fly through it in some details in this time around.
Uh-huh.
But if you want the additional nitty-gritty details about the Fantastic Four's first appearance and origin story, go back to Sue Storm. Listen to that one first, because we're not going to talk about them in full context for this episode. But Johnny himself, like his sister Sue, was created by Jan Lee. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. First appearance, as we know it, Fantastic Four, number one, November 1961.
Oh, yeah.
And with Giganto once again. And they've released a clip online from the DVD digital version of them fighting him, like an extended
look. Oh, they
did?
Yeah. I did not.
I mean, I don't know if it's extended. It's like 3 seconds.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's the clip from the movie, basically.
From, okay.
Yeah, and so, yeah, that classic issue, and the issue title itself was The Fantastic Four, and once again, was Marvel's very first superhero book. And so I wish I had like an update of some sort of how much this book has sold in recent times, especially after First Steps, but
nope, still the same from when we last talked about Sue.
We're still looking at about $2 million.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh man, $2 million, 1.5 mil, you know, around that whole way.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's so crazy that a piece of pop culture
would
can
you
be worth
say
that much.
They are Marvel's most valuable comic property?
Actually, yeah, I don't think I would. I wouldn't even say Avengers. I would have to say it might be
Spider-Man.
I don't
think I would even say Avengers.
No, I would say Spider-Man. That's a personal opinion.
But it's also like...
But
there's also a reason we've had three different iterations of Spider-Man.
That's why Sony is still alive. You know what I mean?
How close is Spider-Man and X-Men?
I think it's comparable. I think it's definitely comparable, like, especially if you were to gauge it past a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, if you're talking modern age.
Yeah.
Way closer than it was.
But in terms of, like, yeah, and I guess if we're talking in terms of just comic.
Yeah. Interesting. Ooh, yeah. That's a good question.
Straight comics. Because obviously, all the digital mediums of it.
Yeah.
Are inspired by the comics, you know? So X-Men 92,
yeah.
Original animated Spider-Man,
yeah.
Obviously, but there's a reason why those were chosen
to
be made into live action and or digital media.
I would say marginally Spider-Man.
Okay.
Simply because if you look at the collective lore of Spider-Man comics and the branch offs and all that, I think the success rate is higher than X-Men. Because X-Men, they have these really golden moments.
Yeah.
And again, every freaking team, X-Force, X-Factor, X-Men, the New Mutants. Like, you know, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But the success rate pales in comparison to Amazing Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, Spider-Verse, Miles Morales Spider-Man. Yeah. You know?
Gwen. Obviously.
Gwen alone. At least a couple of years ago. But yeah, it's the scale is so large. But X-Men is gigantic, obviously.
And then to bring it back to the Fantastic Four, because they are Marvel's first family, how important are they?
I think they're integral to like everything, right?
Uh-huh.
But I also feel like at the same time, they're so underrated. Because like coming from a what I would say, I am a comic book aficionado, even if I'm not like up to date on all things comics.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to Marvel, they're so crucial. Like, I couldn't imagine a universe of Marvel without the Fantastic Four. But in the same token, I know I haven't read
all of them
at all.
Every single
anything close.
Yes.
And I couldn't pull out facts about the Fantastic Four to save my life. But I know that they're important just because I understand, like, they've made such an impression and had such an impression. And there's just, like, no set like them.
Yeah.
Despite how many teams have come into play, you know what I mean?
And then my last bullet point.
Yeah.
What did the 2004 movie do for recognition of this family?
I think that
I know we talked about the original unreleased movie.
Yeah.
But because of me growing up,
it's so different.
As a 94 baby.
Yeah.
And then that being the first film version that I see of. Yeah. And then because they did so amazing and they were so well received.
They pulled it off.
What did that do to maybe the family's popularity?
Catapult them? Yeah, I think that actually helped a lot. It helped really put them on a map that didn't quite exist yet. Because to your point, we didn't get that movie. And that was their one opportunity, if you will, in a modern era to actually catapult them to a level. Because again, they had an animated series. I watched that animated series.
Yes.
But it, like the Iron Man one, were not nearly as well received as the X-Men and Spider-Man were. And again, it's kind of like, oh, it's interesting because Avengers and Fantastic Four like really laid the groundwork for these characters. But yet, in a modern landscape, they weren't as popular. So it wasn't until 2004-05 that with that film and who was in it and the quality at which it was produced that people really thought, oh, Fantastic Four is a thing. No pun intended. Don't look at me like that.
Shut up. Guys, I just found our snippet.
I did it again.
Clip it again. Yes.
But yeah, you like it really became something, you know, and because of Yoan Gruffudd and Michael Chiklis and Chris Evans, it was again, I think you said it, it was the right people at the right time that really made that movie work.
Uh-huh.
And I did watch speaking of what I was watching last night, I watched Rise of Silver Surfer again.
It's a good
one. I was like, it holds up pretty well. So you can't even poop on them too hard because they're still
decent movies. Of Rise of Silver Surfer, I remember like when that came out, people were like, "This is not that great. It didn't live up to like obviously what the original like did.
Yeah,
like the first movie. Mm. But then as I got older, and I was like, oh yeah, well Galactus was a cloud.
there's a lot of things. Looking going on. At it, they tried to present him almost like a Dune worm. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I remember watching it in theaters and thinking, oh, he's just a cloud. But then in retrospect, watching it last night, I was like, oh, they actually kind of tried to give him some sort of shape, but it didn't.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And Dr. Doom in there. And then also like what they ended up doing. I mean, well, we're going to talk about it a lot. but yeah, I think that the movies really had a play in their continued popularity. I think it could have been possible at some point that they would have faded away and just kind of like remained in the background.
Yeah.
But they've been able to keep on. And Rivals, I think, is the biggest reason why they're as popular as they are now. Aside first steps, obviously.
Especially Sue Storm.
Especially Sue Storm. in that Malice outfit.
She has a new one coming out.
She does. Yes. I saw that.
Very revealing.
I will not be buying that one. Yeah. It's another bait one. Yeah. But,
and then on top of Rivals, yeah. it is like this new cast yes. with First Steps.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see why Feige was like, yeah. We need to get this casting right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think they nailed it.
And they did. I think they nailed it. I still think they nailed it. So speaking of Johnny in particular, what was your first exposure to this character? Was it also Chris Evans? Yeah. So it's all four of them. Where it was just that movie and you were
That was like my... Yeah, 2004.
That's crazy.
I was 10, 11 years old.
Yeah. But it's, again, it's like, I've said this a while back. I think the effect that X-Men had on me, like X-Men, the animated series and the comic book, had the same effect on you with Fantastic Four and Spider-Man. The movies had the same effect on you.
Yes.
Because you were the exact same age. Yeah,
that's why like Tobey Maguire is like my Spider-Man. Right. Know? It's because of that movie.
Sure, sure. And it makes perfect sense, to be honest. With me, same thing. I think, as I said with Sue, is that the Fantastic Four were just always there. I don't know. Yeah. They were just birthed into my consciousness with the rest of Marvel. But as for Johnny, so... Before we dive into all the other nitty gritty stuff, wanted to read his bio in our handy dandy mini book. So, oh man, his name is a mouthful. Real name, Jonathan Lowell Spencer Johnny Storm. So he's got a long ass name. Height, 5'10". Weight, 170. And his bio reads as follows. Bombarded by cosmic rays alongside his sister Sue, her fiancé Reed Richards, and Richards's best friend Ben Grimm, Johnny Storm's ill-fated flight aboard an experimental spaceship may have prematurely flamed out, but Johnny soon found he could flame on as the fiery human torch, a founding member of the Fantastic Four. So, again, very straight to the point. Nothing too complicated, at least from a layman's terms perspective. But as we came to know with the Sue episode that we just did, that, you know, the flight itself, it was all, again, it was nostalgia of the 1960s and that it all came together very hastily. They all knew each other. They got in a car. They decided, we're going to space. They kind of went to space and then they came right back down and they were imbued with all these powers. And so... I wanted to add the slightest notation because initially it was like, I'm Johnny and I'm Sue's brother, so I'm going to go too. The added fact is that, he was also designated to be the co-pilot.
Yeah.
Because he was good enough to do that, sort of. But he was still Sue's brother.
Yes.
But I wanted to, as far as the origin goes, because again, I don't want to repeat myself 100%. Is that, you know... After they became the Four, as we know them, what I didn't mention in the previous episode is that how early on they met. So they were all, when we're introduced to them, Johnny is very much a teenager. He's in high school.
Yeah.
And then Sue and Reed are, I think they had just graduated college or maybe Sue was still in it. But when they first met, however, Reed was working on his second or third PhD in college.
Of course.
When he was looking for a place to stay. And so he found a boarding house owned by a woman named Mary Gay Jewel Dinkins. Who we mentioned in a previous episode very, very briefly. And so this Mary Gay Jewel Dinkins, she is the aunt of Johnny and Sue.
Mm.
And so after Johnny and Sue's parents met an unfortunate fate, which we'll briefly talk about again in a minute, they then moved into Aunt Mary Gay's boarding house. And then she was still renting rooms, still had space. Here comes Reed Richards on his... you know, third rodeo, PhD. His friend, Ben Grimm, is the one helping him move in. This is how they all come together and come to know each other. And so, unfortunate for Reed, he immediately fell in love with Sue the first time he saw her.
I would too.
And of course, with that, they all became friends. And then Sue and Reed had their relationship and it all just took off from there. And so that's what happened before the actual first issue. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even carve that storyline out until I think the 90s, maybe even 2000s. Mm. And so it's something they added in retroactively to kind of fill in the blanks. Because, yeah, you don't really get the sense of like, oh, how did they actually come to know each other?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that they learned after, like, the X-Men, speaking of, because they do say like, oh, how did all these amazing children come to be? Yeah. Why are they all in Xavier's school? You know, they didn't just manifest.
Yes.
There's a reason why they came together. And so that happens to be the Fantastic Fours. And so, yeah, the rest of the canon comes as we know it. And so they've been this team ever since. And they've obviously had their tumultuousnesses and breakups and deaths and whatnot. And so that brings us to Johnny Storm in cinematic versions, portrayed by Jay Underwood in the unreleased film.
I mean, yeah, that movie came out when I was born, so... or didn't come out, but it got
almost
created.
Came out. Yeah. I gotta see it. I gotta see something. Then Chris Evans in the Fox films, as well as Deadpool and Wolverine, and then Michael B. Jordan in the 2015 film Four Stick, as we're calling it. And then, of course, most recently by Joseph Quinn in Fantastic Four First Steps, directed by Matt Shakman. You know what I thought was so interesting when I was looking at the pictures of Johnny, especially Joseph Quinn? I was like, God, what? Why is it so jarring? Not in a bad way, because he just looks so different. And I'm like, oh, that's right, because he has dark eyes in real life.
Yeah, and dark hair.
And I'm just used to seeing Eddie Munson, because I loved him. No, 100%. In Stranger. Oh, he's so good.
Yeah.
Like when they
He's British.
And he's British. Yeah, exactly. On top of all of that, he's not just a blonde haired, blue eyed American boy. He's a brunette, brown eyed British boy. But yeah, I still think even after rewatching Rise of Silver Surfer, as much as I like Chris Evans, he's still my Cap. And I see him bet more as Cap. He feels more like Cap to me, even as Johnny in a weird way.
Yeah.
That I like Joseph Quinn so much because, I lean into that. The retro futuristic stuff.
I have a crazy question.
What?
I doubt this is happening, but Chris Evans in this upcoming whatever set of movies plays both Cap and Johnny Storm.
That would be wild.
Does he get paid as one person or does he get paid as two characters?
Didn't Jim Carrey gripe about Sonic the Hedgehog 3 because he played two characters but he only got paid once?
Because he played
two characters. He played like Dr. Robotnik and Dr. Robotnik's dad.
Yes. Something like that.
Yeah. And didn't he make some like big to do about it because he only
got one
paycheck?
I think I remember reading something like that about like maybe like not getting paid more like significantly, but more of like give me a little bit something more just because it's like I am exhausting myself two different times.
Well, Tatiana Maslany in Black Orphan. Orphan Black, sorry. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if she got a premium for playing like eight people.
But for what it's worth, I feel like if that was a possibility of Chris Evans playing Johnny Storm, I feel like it'd be super a quick scene.
Yeah.
Like maybe the First Steps 4, they go to a wrong universe and they're just like, oh, snap. And he's like, who are you? And it's like I'm Johnny. And it was like, I'm Johnny. And it's like, I'm Johnny. And they both just get into a Johnny off.
A Johnny off.
Like
I would be super down for it because they could do it with Killmonger and Johnny too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah. So it's like, that'd be like crazy.
Yeah, it'd be nuts. I mean, but again, the sky's the limit. Until it's out, anything could happen.
But
you mentioned Chris was your favorite, right?
Yeah, like I understand what you mean about like, that's always going to be Cap.
Yeah, but he's so good as Johnny.
But that two scenes, I think I brought it up in the last in the last episode when we talked about like Johnny. I'm like where he talks to the where they're fresh off the accident. He's he's at the ski resort hospital bed.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, and he sees the hot nurse and he's like, oh, like,
Maria,
what
are
you
off?
Me, 15 minutes, top of the slope. Yeah. She's like, oh my God, you're hot. Thanks, you too. And I was like, Yeah, like that just, yeah. And then the other one where Silver Surfer, mm-hmm. it's kind of like the same of like, you're like Johnny Go.
Yeah.
And then Reed's like, Johnny Go. And he's like, but oh man, this is Tom Ford.
Oh yeah, you know, he's adult. This is Dolce.
This is Dolce. Yeah. He's like, man.
I know, so good.
And I was like, yeah, that's
so good.
Like, it's so good. Like, yes, is he Cap?
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
But
that's also a man with range.
Yeah.
Like, holy.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Like, I think we brought it up too. I was like, that guy went from playing Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah.
To that. And then, you know, so.
I think I said it in our Cap episode. I was like, I remember distinctly when he was cast. I was like, the guy from Not Another Teen Movie. And then boy did he prove me wrong. Holy moly.
So I think just off that, and mm-hmm. then obviously seeing him in Deadpool and Wolverine, I was like, man,
that made me miss him though.
I was like, look, he's in that MCU-ified Fantastic Four suit.
That's so crazy.
He said flame on.
I know.
I mean, Joseph Quinn doesn't even say flame on.
Yeah, he hasn't.
He never did.
Yeah.
Still hasn't.
Damn. The toy did. Flame on. Flame on.
Flame on.
Because it was like, the way that they posed it was that it was like a toy thing, animation thing, which I get.
Same thing with Ben.
With Ben. Yeah, exactly.
It's not a thing I say.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, Chris Evans, I just have to.
He's so good. Yeah. I mean, I can't deny that they were all four of them. Which is so great, and I did love them a lot. But and you know, in retrospect, and I thought about it, especially now that I have watched all the four, at least the four films that exist in our continuity of these Johnnies. In retrospect, I was like, okay, Michael B. Jordan's, which you still have not seen, but
I have one more character study left, and I have to do it before that last
one. Before Reed. Yeah, and you know, in retrospect, and I thought about it for a bit, because I was like, you know, I said in the Sue episode that he really felt like a departure of Johnny.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not necessarily that. It's like he is playing a very Johnny similar character. But the one thing that they did really tie back to the comic book version is that Michael B. Jordan's was really into cars. And so that's something that the other two don't do much at all.
Got it.
And he's very much a mechanic and he's very much an engineer. And like some would even say that is his greatest love aside getting with girls.
Yeah.
Is he loves cars. And so that's the one real, aside being a hothead, and having attributes of Johnny, even though the rest of his personality is like not quite
it. Okay.
He's got some characteristics in there somewhere. But yeah. So it is nice to see like different versions of him across the board, but how similar they are at the same time. And so that brings us to our prop quiz, which I forgot to ask you last time. Because we were so in it and I completely forgot to, read it, but comic book version based, not necessarily knowledge based. It's just a, let's see.
We can try.
We'll see how you shoot your shot of these Marvel superheroes. And this is going to surprise you. I think who did not make their debut before the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Who did not? Is it Doctor Strange, Loki, Namor, or Groot?
So three of these characters made their debut before the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange, Loki,
mm-hmm.
Namor.
Mm-hmm. Namor.
And
Groot.
Groot.
Mm-hmm.
Who did not.
Who did not. So prior to 1961.
That's interesting.
Right? Huh. Especially because I think what they've also succeeded in conveying with the Fantastic Four is that they're the first, right? You think, oh, they're the first everything. They're not.
Yeah.
They came.
They're just the first family.
First family. They came much later than a number of characters. Three of these.
Namor is sending me because obviously we all know about his entanglement with Sue.
Yas.
From the last episode, which you can listen to in the Sue Storm episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so who did, like, you know, be introduced first?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah, it's like if I knew that, and we haven't done Namor yet,
We have not done it yet.
Ooh, it's even more. Wait, see, now I have to, like, go back and think of, like, wait.
Yeah.
If the first family was in 61,
mm-hmm.
when did Doctor Strange? I feel like that's early, but I feel like it's not, like, golden age early. But then again, What do I know? That was long, that was a long time ago.
Right.
Oh my God.
Isn't that interesting? You think about it, you put it in that perspective and you're like, oh.
Like, I feel like I'm incepting myself into like answering no more.
Really?
Just because of like the entanglement.
Did not come first.
Did not come first.
Interesting.
And there's Loki. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah.
And then fourth one?
Groot.
Groot. So Loki, Groot. Now Groot is that thing is old as that tree is older than as old as time.
and then Mr. Doctor.
Exactly. I had to take out Groot or Doctor Strange.
Hmm.
When the frick did Thor start? Oh my God.
Final answer.
Oh, I'm just going to did not make. I'm going to say Loki.
Loki is
the only one that did not make their debut before the four.
All right, let me read these off. So, in order of appearance.
Yes.
Namor.
Yeah.
October 1939.
Wow. Whoa. Wait, when did Marvel Comics,
cuz it used to be Timely Comics,
yes,
too. But you have to also understand, like, well, actually, speaking of, Namor first appeared in Marvel Comics number one. So he kind of kicked it off.
Like, he's, wow. Yeah, okay, yeah. So he could go on. Yeah. He could go off as one of Marvel's oldest characters.
Literally one of the first superheroes they ever created.
Crazy.
So October 1939 for Namor, the Submariner.
Thank God I went with that.
Loki.
Damn it.
August 1949.
Wow. Yes. Horrendous.
Yep. Journey into Mystery. Groot. November 1960.
Right on the cusp.
Yeah.
So it was the Doctor.
She narrowly beat them, with Doctor Strange being the last one to come in after the Fantastic Four, July 1963.
Wow.
So he didn't even beat Spider-Man.
The Supreme Sorcerer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Came in after. Came in, I think, just before the X-Men.
Got it.
Yeah. Crazy. That's
crazy.
Right? Yeah. Namor.
That Namor fact actually is crazy.
Yeah. 1939. That's the wildest thing. And it's like thinking that they had been around since 39.
Yeah.
But as Timely Comics.
That is almost 100 years.
Yes. So
in 14 years, it'll be 100 years. Yeah.
God, 14 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they'll be celebrating. In a few years, their 100th anniversary. Woo! That's a good one.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh yeah, we're getting to the old timers here.
That's a really big fun fact.
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes to the cinematic aesthetic for Johnny Storm, much like our Sue Storm graphic that we had, Jeff, we see the five iterations of Johnny, two of which are Chris Evans. And so a reminder that the costume designer for First Steps was Alexandra Byrne, who worked on Thor, The Avengers, and Guardians of the Galaxy. And very much like Sue, Johnny's outfits played pretty close to the rest of the crew in their evolution. So they went from classic to ultimate to four stick, which is interesting because you'll see it. It's like,
oh, I see it.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like anything.
I know. It's all black. But the interesting thing about Johnny's suit compared to the rest of the team, well, to Sue and Reed, because Thing is, again, naked the entire movie.
Pretty much.
Is that Johnny has these like little grids and like grails and stuff his suit. And it's essentially to help like the butane. So it's meant it's like a lighter. So it helps him flame on.
Heard.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting take. And then, of course, the Deadpool and Wolverine, which is very reminiscent of his original Fantastic Four outfit. And then we have young Joseph Quinn in the retro futuristic look.
So cool.
So cool. So neat. And then I wanted to point out that, you know, Giant Killer Robots and Weta FX, known then as Weta Digital, handled Torch's effects in the first two films. And then Rodeo FX handled Four Stick, Industrial Light and Magic, ILM to all your nerds, Framestore, Sony Pictures Imageworks, Digital Domain, Rise FX, and Weta all contributed to Fantastic Four First Steps. Yeah.
They had to.
Which is incredible. Jesus. But I know I read somewhere while I was looking up his powers that Weta, I think Weta or ILM, went so deep into the nitty-gritty of the science of Johnny Storm that they intentionally made the closest flames to his actual body like slight blue. So that you could see the actual flames like coming to life on his body.
Love that.
So cool. I was like, dang, dude, these are the little things people take for granted.
Yeah. like as a person that works in post-production, like it's always going to be something that like the audience, the general audience is just never going to see.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's an invisible.
Yeah. It's like that. It's a what?
Oh, damn it.
It's like that frame that we talked about when they first released the trailer, when Johnny takes off of the balcony and he like switches, he turns away from the camera.
Oh yeah. And then like, and,
yeah,
it hits like, the lens.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. It's cool stuff like that. I so love cool. that. And so speaking of powers, his is obviously, you could just be like, he catches on fire, but it is actually much more complex than that. And I even had to quote directly from fandom on a portion of this, but the overarching idea is that he has plasma generation, which allows him to control ambient heat. Now, science plays a significant part in all of these mutations, but I find Johnny's particularly intriguing. And so the excerpt from fandom states, mm-hmm. quote unquote, "While the cells of a normal human body convert energy from foodstuffs into a form of energy usable by the body, adenosine triphosphate, ATP, the cosmic ray bombardment triggered a specific genetic code rearrangement that caused the human torch's ATP production sites to generate a new form of energy containing a molecule dubbed adenine ribohexamethylphosphate."
Sure.
ARHP by Reed Richards. I have to see it. Riboheptaphosphine. Oh, there you go.
That sounds correct.
I know. This complex molecule is a much more efficient fuel source and not only provides ordinary body energy, but contains large stores of latent chemical bonding energies.
I wonder if it's painful for him to flame on. Like there's like a slight,
that's interesting.
Like a slight, like maybe not tingle. Any, but like,
yeah.
Just every time he does it, there's just like this like small, like burn of like when you touch a hot pan.
It must be. It must be. Know? At least initially, I would say yeah.
Yeah.
I think because there is that startle in the original issues where he's like, oh my God, I'm on fire. But he's also like, oh, I'm on fire.
But I'm on fire. I don't feel anything though.
Right. So there's something in his composition that negates the pain factor and the effect that the fire has on his skin.
Crazy.
So the fact that Reed Richards came up with these molecule names and dissected it to that granular level is like, once again, testament to the most intelligent man.
Exactly.
It's so crazy. And so in addition to all of this, Johnny is also capable of fire generation and manipulation, including something referred to as a Nova Flame, pyrokinetic flight, superhuman durability, heat manipulation, and absorption, which in turn allows him immunity to fire and heat and mild resistance to cold. So henceforth, like in the first film, when he crashes into the snow.
Yes.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm cool. And he's in a little hot tub situation.
Yeah.
And then fun fact, as Torch, Johnny can stay aflame for roughly 17 hours consistently. That's a long time.
That is like abnormally, an abnormal amount to be on fire.
On fire.
Even though you don't feel it, you're just like,
he could continuously burn for 17 hours if he chose to.
Eesh.
And temperatures of his Nova Burst can reach about 1 million Fahrenheit, comparable to the heat of a nuclear warhead detonation with a diameter of 900 feet.
Oh my God.
So he is basically an atomic bomb, but so much worse in a lot of ways. But he's also, he can contain it.
Yeah.
So he has that power, but he can also withhold it. And so on the cinematic side, at least for first steps, we're looking at artificially enhanced physiology, which has been, you know, which has manipulated his DNA to allow for plasma fire manipulation, including fire mimicry, fire projection, pyrokinetic flight, and fire absorption, as we saw in first steps.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly to Sue, their powers have been simplified a little bit, but they still command the same nuances as their comic book counterparts for the most part. And so speaking of Sue, family, friends, and affiliations, wanted to, again, touch on mom and pop here, Franklin and Mary Storm. And so I actually pulled some screenshots for you, Jeff, this time around. Mm. And so you can see a young Jonathan and a Susan here with their parents on that fateful night before the mother's death.
Yeah.
So very Americana.
Yeah.
Super groovy family. And so, yeah, so the issue was is that their dad was a famed surgeon. They were going to a gala. Tire blew out. Mom died on the table. Dad grieved very hard. Had a gambling problem. Got in an altercation with a loan shark. Loan shark died. He went to jail. He's in jail.
Typical.
He died in jail. And so speaking of, here he is in prison. Ignore this ghastly figure in the background. There's so much lore going on here. It turned into a clone situation. But this is Dr. Storm in prison, just waiting out his days before he can see his wife again.
Man.
Yeah, and so he unfortunately died much later in continuity. And his last words actually are just so sad because he's like, he was telling his children to not worry about him.
Yeah.
He's like, they had done so much to try and save him. And he was like, it's okay. I won't be in pain anymore. And I'll get to see your mom again. And it's like, oh, shut up. It's so sad. And it's like the one really devastating factor in their lives.
Yeah.
Are their parents, which have not been named in the MCU just yet, but presumably are Franklin and Mary. And then we haven't seen any of them on screen except for Franklin portrayed by Reg E. Caffey in 2015's Forstick. And once again, we don't know too much about them yet. So I'm curious if they'll even go there. I don't think they will. I think they've moved past it. It's one of those things, casualties of a long, long story and a lot of lore.
Yeah.
Then there is Sue Storm, Invisible Woman. And, you know, again, not to rehash everything, but it is very much everything we know about them. She's the big sister. She's the one that took care of them. He's the baby brother. He's irresponsible. And she tries to help him mature in every way along the way in the comics and on screen. So much so that she made him chief finance officer for the Fantastic Four in the comics. And then in cinematic world, Sue Storm, portrayed by Rebecca Staub in the 1994 unreleased film.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jeffrey's wifey, Jessica Alba.
Oh, yeah.
In the Fox films. And then Kate Mara in 2015's Forstick.
Mm-hmm.
And most recently by my favorite, Vanessa Kirby.
She's great.
First Steps, directed by Matt Shakman.
She is so great.
She's so good. And so I shared with Jeff today, Marvel dropped the deleted scene.
Yes.
That we were talking about
with Mole Man.
Yeah, I should have locked in a little harder than I did, but I'm going to rewatch it. But it is very interesting. It is quite long. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. Solid. I mean, really, like, obviously solid lore between, Sue and Mole Man.
Harvey.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe they just feel like it wasn't, I mean, maybe kind of, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm always just like, if a movie, like, I'm cool with 2-hour and 20-minute movies, 2-hour 30-minute movies. I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, they cut it for a reason. But it's funny.
Yeah, yeah, it's very interesting. But I'm glad they released it.
Can't wait to see the other ones.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be dropping.
Yeah,
well into the home release. But yeah, you know, same thing with them on cinematically. She's the intellectual older sister, doctor, and
heart of the family, I would say.
The family, yeah. It's just family is real. It really just encompasses them. And it is, I still feel the same though, that I feel Vanessa and Joseph really sell the siblings.
Yes, that 100%.
Yeah, and it's I see it with Jessica and Chris, but they just don't. Yeah.
Like if you were to ask me who's a better sibling duo, yeah. I would say Vanessa and yeah. Joseph.
It's so palpable. It's so yeah. there. And it's like, oh, it's so great. But yeah, I just absolutely love them in the MCU. But yeah, across the board. Oh, not across the board, because Forstick is just so.
Sorry, Kamara.
It's just so tough. Gosh, Jeff, it's so tough. It's. Yeah.
See, every time we talk about it, the more I'm just like, I don't know if I want to watch it. But
I'm
like,
sorry,
I know I need to at some point in my life.
I gotta, because I'm gaslighting myself. I'm like, is it that bad? And it's not that bad, but it's just not them. It's not them.
Yes.
It's an homage of something resembling.
Yes.
Something that could have been.
From what
fantastic.
I've heard, yes.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm just like, wow, how is this possible? How did it get made?
It's crazy.
But yeah, so between the Fox and the MCU versions, I mean, my gosh, they're both absolutely awesome. And yeah, I think they've really instilled in us that, you know, this is what family should feel like and look like. And this is what the first family is all about.
Yeah.
Then there's Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. And so while what we initially knew about Johnny's place within the Four was pretty simple, it got more complicated and added to more in recent canon. Mm-hmm. And so, again, he was originally just the teenage brother that was tagging along, and he was kind of a co-pilot, but he wasn't super-duper all that skilled in that. It's just that, you know, he's Sue's brother, let him do what he wants. But with further compelling research from Reed in the comics, Johnny's curiosity and interest in going to space became even more passionate, and he became more inspired. And so in the books, Johnny actually did the work to become a proper space pilot. He became NASA's youngest notable pilot in history. So he did the work in the comics, and he became the co-pilot that Reed and Ben needed for their space adventures.
Yeah.
And so, like with anyone else, the deeper you get into the weeds, the more stories and canonical craziness that Reed and Johnny have. But that seems about it as far as those two are concerned on a surface level. So yeah, Reed had a lot to do with inspiring Johnny to just be more, to be something greater than just some hotshot.
Yeah.
Which is not terribly unlike the films. I mean, I thought it was interesting that they didn't cross over as much as I remembered, you know, and Chris in the Fox films. Like, they didn't have as much. It was always Johnny and Ben more than anything. And yes. Then Reed with everybody else. Well, Sue and Ben, but never really Johnny and Reed. The second movie, a little bit more. Because he's having this power issue. Yes. Which I completely forgot about.
It was funny. That was like one of the funniest parts. Yeah.
Yeah, that they had been affected by the surfer's power, cosmic yeah. power, and his board, that they kept switching powers.
Yeah.
And so that was the extent of their interactions in that film. But yeah, you know, first portrayed by Alex Hyde, and then Ewan Gruffudd in the Fox films, and then Miles Teller. You say that again. And then Pedro Pascal. So again, say for the 2015 film, it's pretty consistent. They yeah. do things. They do like they have these interesting talks where Johnny is quite literally the layman's man, and in terminology, and Reed is the over-explanatory,
yes,
very dense and scientific brain he is. But they always meet in the middle somewhere. And I do like the energy and the dynamic that Joseph and Pedro have. I thought they matched each other well, and it helped him. It helped Johnny seem more intelligent, than he was presented before.
Yes. That was like I said, in our review of it, I was like, oh no. Yeah. He's smart.
He's a smarty pants. Yeah. I really liked it. But yeah, the Chris Evans and Ewan thing is really interesting, especially because, yeah, they're trying to find a way for him, his powers to sit still. And the whole thing of just Reed being Reed. Yeah, it's a good dynamic, too. Yeah. And then, of course, there's Benjamin Grimm, the Thing. And so we're going to actually touch on a few related topics in the next section. But again, they're just as we've seen them. They're kind of buddy cop, love hate mm-hmm. types that are obviously family. They border on like brothers, but also like uncle and nephew almost. But yeah, it's again, capital F family when it comes to these characters. And so in the cinematic world, Ben is portrayed by Michael Bailey Smith in the unreleased film. Then Michael Chiklis, that link with the pictures of him and Eben. Oh my God.
I know.
So great.
That was so funny.
I love it.
I texted Diet because I was like, oh, I know if Diet saw it, she would have sent it to me.
Yeah.
I knew, I sent it. I was like, and my first thing I said, I was like, Die. So here's the thing.
It's funny because I was driving, so I just saw like, so here's the thing. I was like, oh no, what happened?
And it's just Michael Chiklis and Eben.
Yeah, and I clicked through and I was like, oh, it's literally the thing, but both of them. Oh, such a great, and it makes me happy that they look like genuinely happy to like just even meet each other.
You think
like,
he's in it?
Now? Oh yeah. Now I'm like, oh, they're in this freaking movie.
He did mocap though.
Yeah.
You think he's not? Yeah. He's not putting that thing on again.
No. I mean, God, I hate you. That's hilarious.
Damn.
Cooking. Yeah. I am more convinced.
You and think?
Apparently, but here's the. Wasn't gonna say it.
You can say
but
it.
But here's the thing. Apparently they are concluding filming Doomsday this week.
Yes.
So if that is the case, then these pictures could be older than we know. I don't know. I'm not keeping up with all the.
It's from the rap party.
I know, right? I'm like, this is from something that they were all clearly at.
Yeah.
But until I see a Jessica Alba picture.
I feel like
she's the missing component.
I feel like her and Ian.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Until we see the movie.
Maybe because he went to the premiere though. So I was like, what are you doing here?
But as an ode to like, okay,
sure.
But if he doesn't show up to the Doomsday premiere or whatever, there's going to be a lot of people who are in the movie that aren't going to go to the premiere because
vice versa. I think
because of, I don't want to give that away.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
I don't know.
We're so curious. Yeah. But anyway, Michael Chiklis. Seeing Michael Chiklis made me so happy because he's so sensational as Ben. And I can't wait to talk about Ben. But then he was portrayed by Jamie Bell in Four Stick. And then, of course, as we just mentioned, Eben Moss Backrock in First Steps. And so same. They're the same. The goading is much worse in the Fox films.
Yeah.
But Chris Evans's delivery each time were hilarious. Like when I forgot some of these scenes happen. And then it made me realize like, damn, he really is a great Johnny. Because when he's like about Alicia and Ben being intimate. And he's like, so how do you guys? And Ben's like, that's none of your business. And then Chris is like, he's like, I was just checking because I didn't want to, you know, wake up tomorrow and see in the paper that Alicia got crushed by a rock slide or something, whatever he said.
Yeah,
and he
ran.
I was like, oh my God, Chris was truly, he was made for that role at that specific point in time because of Not Another Teen Movie and everything else that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
So it really primed him to be so perfect. But yeah, the dynamic is the same, especially even when it comes to First Steps, Johnny and Ben, they have these little things, these little tics where they're picking on each other. It's just what they do. And you know, the whole dynamics, the dynamics make the family. And you know, funny enough, we learn more about Johnny's longing for love, right? In Return, Rise of the Silver Surfer, which bled over from the first film. And so it is interesting that, you know, I mentioned how everybody's powers kind of resemble something, an attribute of their personality. And so Johnny is hot. Johnny is a hot head. He's a hot shot. And so the whole love and flings and one-nighters that he has are just kind of like almost for show, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants love. He just wants a little love, I guess. And they really touched on that at least in all of the films, really. And then this last one I had to bring up because for your enjoyment, Jeff, on the friends and family list, Peter Parker, our very own Spider-Man.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
so
possible.
Yeah, I wanted to give our boy a shout out here because before most frenemies, there was Human Torch and Spider-Man. And mm-hmm. so these two met very, very early in their superhero tenures. And so, again, Johnny was a teenager. He was hot-headed. He was his hot-headed self. And Peter just came into his own as Spider-Man. He was embracing the superhero persona.
Yeah.
And so he was being reckless, and he was like, I could break into the Baxter building.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, he's got superpowers, and he's also a very intelligent young man. And so he did. Of course. Unfortunate for him. And so he is then obviously met with the Fantastic Four. And, you know, it kind of set course, because they then looked at each other as, you know, they were just pests for one each other. But, you know, they throw quips at each other, at least. So Johnny and Peter kind of got into this position. Well, you know, they didn't know he was Peter Parker.
Yes.
They get into this position where they throw quips at each other as hard as they throw punches. So they like each other. It's almost like a Deadpool-Wolverine situation. Like, they're obviously very close, but at the same time, they, like, can't stand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have this really interesting dynamic, at least early in continuity. It's very, you know, it's what you can imagine. It's boys at play.
Yeah.
More modern comics, it's definitely a little, they play a little rougher. But it's still a great dynamic that you can tell, oh, these two work very well together.
Yes.
They respect each other, but they're also not above criticizing each other. So it's an interesting thing. And it's something that we could actually see in the MCU if you know, the powers that be allow it.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, portrayed by Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland. this is one of the biggest wish lists for Spider-Man 4.
Two British human, people.
I know, two Brits, two British people playing American boys, man.
Playing New York.
New Yorkers, no less. Well, actually, yeah. Johnny's from Long Island, but...
But old-timey New yeah. York, because obviously it's 60s, then just... Queens to a T.
yeah that's so funny. So I'm kind of hoping for it somewhere. I don't think it would be Spider-Man 4,
yeah,
but Doomsday,
possibly
that'd be kind of cool. And so that brings us to a very interesting portion of the Johnny Storm lore.
Mm-hmm.
Love interests.
Oh, I'm assuming this list could go on forever.
Good, because right up top, my first three words in caps are messy, messy, messy. And so you can't imagine how long this list could be. This could probably be the longest list.
I know. We could just do an episode on this.
Pretty much. And it's comparable to some of Marvel's most fashionable playboys. But I pared it down. Here are some.
She narrowed it down to 20 women.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. There are a few that we can tackle that hold a little more prominence than most. And so, unfortunately, the first one is Alicia Masters.
That's funny.
Or at least Leah in the comics.
Got it.
And so you can imagine how bad this might have looked. Just it's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, this is.
Oh, yeah.
This is already bad.
Oh, I believe it. I believe
it. But this is the iceberg of Johnny Storm's love woes. And so the short of it is, while Ben was taking a temporary leave from the team and then She-Hulk stepped in, Johnny found love with Alicia Masters, Ben's blind ex-girlfriend.
Of course.
It got so serious, in fact, that the two got married. But surprise, she was a Skrull named Leah.
Dude, that's crazy.
We haven't even touched the Skrulls since Secret Invasion.
Yes, I know.
So, and not only even us, in the MCU, we have not seen these guys for a hot minute.
Really,
so they're still
can
floating.
Happen in comics. That's crazy.
Literally anything can happen. So he married a Skrull that was posing as Alicia Masters. Needless to say, the marriage dissipated and things evened out with the boys. So that was probably the worst thing that ever happened to them.
That's
at
crazy.
Least between them. Yeah, because, you know, Ben was in love
of course.
With her.
Oh,
of my
course.
God. Yeah. And so imagine that in the MCU. But Alicia Masters, in cinematic verse, first and last appeared in the Fox films, portrayed by the lovely Kerry Washington. And yeah, it goes without saying, nothing romantic happened between those two on screen. And Alicia remained perfectly dedicated to Ben. I loved her in Rise of Silver Surfer. Like, I already loved her.
Yeah.
But she had more meat for her role in the second film. And it is interesting because Johnny even mentions to Ben, like, oh yeah, she's hot. she's so attractive. Like, and so she's great. Into her. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, wow, I forget Kerry Washington is.
Yeah. In the Marvel universe somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. And so, Johnny had a little bit of a crush on her, but thankfully she was tried and true for Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Then that brings us to Crystallia Crystal Immaculin.
Mm.
And so, while Johnny had Doris Dory Evans in high school, he met the Inhuman Crystal.
Jeez.
Exactly. We haven't even hit the Inhumans yet, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to expect you to watch that series anytime soon. Like, ever. You could never watch it. And I'd be like, that's fine. We'll wait for them to come into cinematic because it's painful. But he met Crystal while enrolled in Metro College. And mm-hmm. so this is a little bit later in his life. Their partnership is referred to as, quote unquote, passionate but short-lived. Johnny being absolutely smitten with the Inhuman princess, but a number of fairly mundane things ended their relationship. Really, really basic stuff. And then not long after, she met and fell in love with Pietro Maximoff, aka Quicksilver, got married and had a baby. The baby's name is Luna. She's adorable.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh my God.
So Pietro does have a daughter. And that wasn't the last. Johnny and Crystal had crossed paths, however. Crystal, having joined the team for a brief time, invited by Ben, because Ben wanted to get back at Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, fair.
Yeah, and then, he just wanted to mess with him. And so that was actually, I think we referred to a few of the issues with Agatha. Agatha's first appearance, Crystal is on the team in lieu of Sue. And Sue had taken, like, maternity leave or something. And so Crystal came in, and Johnny was just like, well, this is awkward. My ex-girlfriend's here. Yeah, so that added some nice little dramatic flair for the fam. And then, yes, there is a Crystallia, Crystal Immaculin, in the cinematic verse, if you want to call it that. First and last scene in 2017's The Inhumans show from ABC. And so she was portrayed by Isabel Cornish and Leela Bootsma as a child. And I can say I'm honestly probably one of 32 people who finished that series because it was not good. They were really going after the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hype.
Did not land for them.
No, it did not land at all. It was such a departure. It looked good on the surface from the early onset, but after the first episode, you can't have a show with Medusa and then shave her head. It just doesn't work. And that's what they did. Because, and I think I remember this quite finely, I think to CGI her hair, it was like a million bucks
at the
an
time,
episode.
Yeah.
And in 2017, like,
she doesn't have real hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Freaking snakes. I don't know.
Yeah, the MCU one's a little, the Marvel one's a little different. But she has this continuously flowing hair. And so it was too expensive for them to pull off. So they decided to shave her head. So anyway, Crystal was a main player on the show, but she wasn't really good. She wasn't a very good actress. Which is unfortunate because she was at the time my favorite Inhuman.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of bummed out. And the guy from Game of Thrones. Oh, God. What's his name? The brunette guy that. Oh, did you watch Game of Thrones? Okay, never mind. This is going to be lost on you. But he portrayed Maximus, who is the brother of Black Bolt. And he was the one major thing that saved that show. But even then, did he really? So, you can imagine that the show in its entirety was not quite there. And so there was zero crossover, obviously. There was no Chris Evans and Isabel Cornish happening. And there's still no crossover in MCU standards. But hopefully the Inhumans will finally roll around again. After all, we saw Black Bolt reemerge in Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Just throwing a little softball out there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's possible. They could pop up somewhere. I don't think it's going to be the same. I think he was the only person they were, aside maybe the guy from Game of Thrones, that they would remotely save.
Got it.
That's it. And even for him, I think they're done. They're done. They're going to recast the crap out of these kids.
Probably.
Yeah. And so speaking of Medusa, Medusaelith Medusa Malkin. And so this is a particularly tricky one, as it takes place immediately after the events of dun 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 Secret Wars. Mm. So short version is the Fantastic Four were disbanded as a result of Johnny and the Thing being remaining two team members on Prime Earth. And so the idea was that Sue and Reed had died, but they had actually gone outer Earth, X-Earth, to go explore the universe.
Yeah.
And so that left Johnny and Ben thinking, well, there's no Fantastic Four if we don't have four people. So Johnny ended up joining the Inhumans for a short period of time. And I think this was written by Charles Soule. And I had never been an Inhumans girl until this comic book dropped. And I was like, I'm actually into this. And so this led Johnny and Medusa sparking a short-lived fling. And this is kind of like, she and Black Bolt weren't exactly married at the time. They're separated. And Johnny Storm is a punk. So he was going after her hard. And he was just waiting. He was waiting in the wings just to like take that spot. And so I had to pull this. And you might have actually have seen this, Jeff, because it's so popular. But if you click the link, there's a page out of this particular issue of Inhumans.
Uh-huh.
And it's no dialogue. It is Black Bolt pointing to Medusa. She's walking away.
Yeah.
Johnny is like, okay. And then Black Bolt point like refers to himself. And then he reaches out. He dissipates a flame. And then points to Johnny. He points to Johnny at some point. I thought he did. Maybe he didn't. And then he basically is like, if you go after her, this is you.
Yeah.
And he puts him out and Johnny's just like, that seems pretty clear.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's so good. And it made for such writing because, again, he was dating Crystal before. And so not only do you have the sisters being like Johnny Storm, but then you also have the Black Bolt component where he could literally kill him by just going.
Just breathing.
Yeah.
Pretty much
breathe them out of existence.
Yeah.
And so there is again a Medusa that exists in cinematic verse first and last scene in the Inhuman show as well, portrayed by Surinda Swan and Victoria Isabella Piemonte as a child. Same thing, nothing there. So if we'll ever see it, who knows, maybe we'll get a little fraction of it. And before we move on, I wanted to give an honorable mention to Johnny's seemingly latest fling.
Love that.
Her name is Angelica, an alien humanoid thing. And so if you click that handy link.
What the hell?
This is so.
What did I just open up?
I know. And so people are like, oh, Johnny's dating an alien thing.
Yeah.
But the dialogue is what kills me because it's Johnny laying casually on a rooftop with Angelica.
That's not an Angelica.
And he's like, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking of asking you the same thing. So she says, like, can I kiss you? And that's what Johnny says. And he goes, how do we? And she's like, come, you're an explorer. I'm sure you'll figure it out. And Johnny's like, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Bro, no. Johnny, what?
That thing is an alien.
It's a little alien.
No. God.
And that, I hope to God they don't do that. Because I feel like it's either they're going to do it or they won't touch it.
I mean, now that I'm like hearing all this, this is basically what they tried to make just like Chris Evans' version, just the biggest.
Oh, yeah. If that storyline had come out in 2005, you bet he would have tried to lay an alien.
You know what?
Yeah.
An alien.
What movie is that from? Isn't that from something where like the guy looks at the thing, whatever, not the thing, but some alien form and is like.
It's like, you know what?
Yeah, right? Oh, no, Johnny, no.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So, that's crazy.
Yeah, so there's no MCU counterpart for Angelica, and I hope that it doesn't manifest. But who knows? Who knows? And that brings us to Shala Ball, Silver Surfer. And so similarly to what we said during our Sue episode, the Surfers don't particularly have any direct deep connection with the Fantastic Four as individuals.
Yeah.
And the same goes for Shala Ball and Johnny in the comics. But in the cinematic verse, where she is last first and last scene in First Steps, directed by Matt Shakman and portrayed by Julia Garner. In repetition, Johnny's fiery personality and persistence got him further with this surfer than the rest of the team, down to dissecting her language from her home planet of Zen La. And then, yeah, eventually his stubbornness paid off and helped coerce her over onto their side. And she helped them at the end of the film against Galactus, sending she and him both tumbling into an unknown dimension. Do we think dimension or like place? Those are two very different things. You know what I mean? So is he just displaced somewhere, or did he? They get sent somewhere else?
Because she got sent into that same thing, right?
Yeah. The last portal, yeah.
Yeah. Dimension, I mean...
Because they were just transporting, right? They were still working on, like, moving things. So that means they just moved them. So they're out there
but on that. Yeah, what's dimension? Like, is it like a parallel to like to the ends of the earth?
Right.
Not even earth, the universe.
The universe, yeah.
So it's like, who knows how many light years or eons away they are. Yeah. So I guess we'll find out.
I know, right? Because I do like that Galactus. I don't want that Galactus to go away.
Yeah, like, you got to just keep him. Like, he can never die.
Yeah, no.
That's impossible.
No, I shouldn't.
So.
Yeah, but... More importantly, do we think the interest was authentic on either end when it comes to Shalabal and Johnny?
When he played those recordings, mm-hmm. I think yes.
That he was into her.
I think with those recordings, that's when she got authentic interest in him.
Yeah, because he actually put forth effort.
Because at first it was kind of just like you know, flirty, but like obviously it's one-sided.
Yeah.
And then once he dug into those recordings and figured everything out, mm-hmm. like he was like, oh, maybe I am into this.
Because, what the motivation is there, right? Obviously to save the world, to save Franklin, to save the family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also like there's like that little nudge further.
He thinks she's sexy. Don't tell me how to shoot, kill the alien thing. Sexy alien.
Sexy alien. That kills me. Sexy alien. Yeah, so it is interesting that they're building off of that dynamic when it doesn't even exist in the comics. But if it's going to be an alien, I'd prefer it be that one.
Oh, yes.
Angelica. And then that brings us to notable adversaries. So, again, kind of speed running through this. Harvey Elder, Mole Man. Again, he's a classic recurring Fantastic Four rogues gallery character. They don't have anything deep connecting them. It's just he's Mole Man. He wants to take over the city and the Fantastic Four there to stop them. And then, of course, portrayed by Paul Walter Hauser in First Steps. Again, nothing there either. It's all Sue. So definitely be sure to watch those deleted scenes in addition to the film. And then there came Norn Rad, the Silver Surfer. And so, obviously, in the comics, these two had choice encounters, but there's no direct correlation for either of them. Again, generalized toward the entire team. Whereas in the films, where he's portrayed by Doug Jones in the Fox films, nothing... He did not specifically target Johnny in Rise of the Silver Surfer, but Johnny felt the brunt of it, right? Because his connection was with Sue. But Johnny's powers went haywire. It kind of made for the drive in the movie that kind of grounded Johnny a little more and made him mature a little more. But other than that, it's not like Norrin was like, I'm going to Earth to get Johnny Storm.
Yes.
And so, yeah, nothing there as far as, you know, a direct connection goes.
My memory is horrible. We haven't done a Silver Surfer episode.
No Silver Surfer either. Which we could. And again, we have surfers. Two versions. Yeah. And we could.
Two very different, but.
Very different, but.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Same overarching.
They serve the same purpose in both movies.
Exactly right. They did not change that common denominator, which makes the surfers what they are, which is great. And then, of course, Galactus, Devourer of Worlds, also Galen of Ta. And again, nothing, no deep dive. And they're intrinsically connected as far as the Fantastic Four are concerned.
Yeah.
And they've obviously crossed paths on numerous occasions. But the most threatening is you know, something I mentioned in our last episode, in that Johnny became a herald of Galactus at one point in the comic books. And so I'm not going to get too deep in the weeds, but it involved this being named Zeus, spelled Z-I-U-S, who sought Sue, and he wanted to kill her because she had a nullifying power to his own. So Zeus's power was that he was able to shield a planet from being detected by Galactus. So Sue could counteract that power and unshield the planet, I guess? Is it
either unshield or reveal?
Or reveal. Yeah, I think that would be a better way of saying it. And so he was like, well,
I gotta kill her.
Gotta kill her. It's like, can't have that. So he goes after her. And then the thing is that this whole thing happens, and then Reed's conclusion is that he has to take the power away from Sue so that she's useless.
Yes.
And therefore not a threat.
Yes.
So he swaps Johnny and Sue's powers. She becomes Human Torched, and then he becomes Invisible Boy.
Sure.
And it's then that as Zeus is fleeing Earth, Galactus killed him? Yeah, Galactus then killed Zeus and then was like, need a herald, you'll do. And then he takes Johnny.
Oh, crap.
And that's it. Like, wow. He just takes him. He's like, well, we're going. And then he becomes the herald for a while.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so he's running around with the invisible woman powers.
Whoa.
But as a Silver Surfer. Yeah, it's kind of intense. I don't know.
That is crazy.
It was short-lived. Yeah, it was like, I think it was in the mid-2000s. I want to say maybe late 90s. I don't know. But a very interesting story. And, you know, it was interesting because Johnny like was conscious that he was the Surfer.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite like Norrin or Shala where they were like, I have my mission and I have to adhere. He was like, you know what? I'm the Surfer. I'm going to do a little recon while I'm in here.
Yeah. So he was
observing Galactus and seeing what he could do. So much that they actually, I believe they reverted him back to a human.
Yeah.
Like at some point. And I was like, oh, shit. So, but again, it doesn't stick. Nothing sticks in comics. Whereas on screen, we have Galactus portrayed by Ralph Ineson, first and last scene, First Steps. And so, again, he was a cloud in Fantastic Four, number two, it's Rise of Silver Surfer. And then we got him in First Steps in his full glory. But nothing particularly against Johnny.
Yeah.
It's just because he wanted Franklin and the family and all that good stuff. And then that leaves us with Dr. Victor Von Doom.
Oof.
And again, it's the same thing. It's he is the great adversary of the Fantastic Four, and he's very much their Green Goblin. And he recurs in every way imaginable. And as for he and Johnny's relationship, they have gripes for a number of reasons, sometimes due to a love interest that they have in common. But Doom's strongest connection with Fantastic Four will always, always be Reed. And we're going to talk about that eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in cinematic world, Dr. Victor Von Doom, portrayed by the late Julian McMahon in the original Fox films, then Toby Kebbell in Forstick, and most recently, 2B, Mr. Robert Downey Jr.
Ooh.
In Avengers Doomsday. So yeah, nothing. It's all Sue prior to the MCU. And you know, as we discussed in our First Steps mini-Marvel, Doom officially steps in and presents himself as a mysterious threat. So we'll see who's going after, aside Franklin, obviously.
Yeah.
And what part Johnny may play in any of that. But yeah, that's it as far
so,
as adversaries.
I can't wait to see his portrayal of Doom.
Yeah.
Just so curious.
Yep, exactly.
I am just foaming at the mouth.
I know. I just can't wait. And so as for Almost Was, it is interesting because apparently early on, Paul Mescal was a rumor to be in First Steps, which is funny because like the whole, isn't it Paul Mescal, Diego Luna, and Pedro Pascal are like, and Oscar Isaac are like the actual Fantastic Four?
Or yeah, just like just
everybody
like,
loves
just
them.
All cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, they're all part of that like.
Yeah.
Love
like big names of just, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so apparently Paul was one in the running for First Steps, as well as Austin Butler, Glenn Powell. Huh? Yeah, I could see Glenn Powell, kind of, actually. And Joe Keery. Joe Keery would have been interesting. I don't think quite there, but it is funny that there's like two Stranger Things boys. My pick was Dacre Montgomery.
That's right.
Red Ranger.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he was like a good fit, but in hindsight, it's fine. He would have been fine. I think Joseph has the better acting chops.
I gotta see the screen test.
I know.
You know?
Why don't they release? I mean, I get why they don't release them, but it is interesting how some surface, right? Like, and some are
they probably released. Can't even, like, until, like, the NDA wears off.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah, right? Or they're like, okay, we're doing this specific screen test because we're gonna share it eventually.
Yes.
Which makes sense. But yeah, I want to see the, like, and chemistry tests.
Chemistry tests.
Well, I got to see them. Yeah. I want to see them really bad.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you have a fan cast before?
No.
No.
I just kind of go what the internet is saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am also, I get fed, like, all those rumor mill posts and pages. So it's like.
Clickbait.
Yeah. I kind of just go whatever. But, like, I never get too high or too hot until like it's actually confirmed.
Mm.
And then you know me, I always give people a chance.
Yeah.
Like I'm never gonna be like, no, it should have been this.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Which
it's
is
just
very
like, no, it's just like
very
like, dude,
common.
These guys are actors.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like just because you don't see them as them doesn't mean they can't portray that.
Well, yeah. And I think a lot of people.
Pedro Pascal is a great.
Pedro. Fuck, yeah. Know? Pedro and Eben are two stunning examples of that happening, especially for this film, because people are like, oh, I don't know if I see Ben or I hear Ben.
Yeah.
And then Pedro, he's not even white.
But he's just in everything.
Yeah.
You
he's
know?
Everywhere. And it's just like, oh my God.
And then it's like, but then like when I watched it, I was like, he gets who
Nailed
Reed Richards
it.
Is. Yeah.
Nailed. It's like he got the job for more than a reason of being the it boy.
Yeah.
You know, all of them. And so they've proven themselves. But yeah, I other than Dacre, I didn't really. I was like, sure.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, again, when they announced Joseph, I was like, hell yeah. That's cool. That's cool. He's great. And I was excited to see him in something because I haven't seen him in anything but Stranger Things.
Yeah, I know he was in that other, oh my God.
I know.
The John Krasinski movie.
I'm blanking. I know. what is it called? With Lupita.
Yeah, with Lupita. It's like don't make a sound.
No, it's one word, isn't it?
It is one word.
Oh my God!
And it's going to.
It's gonna kill me. Come
kill
on, say it.
Kill me.
We're getting flagged
and
because
it's gonna a quiet place.
Quiet place.
A quiet.
Yeah,
place.
I haven't seen it. I heard it was it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it, I bet they were good in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. So for the future of the character in the MCU, what do you think, Jeff?
Sky's the limit. Like I said, this
literally.
Is like, this is a resetting of Marvel's first family in the MCU.
Yeah.
You have to milk these guys.
Oh, yeah. Especially them. Especially them.
Give them a proper, whether it be trilogy, give them a proper arc.
Mm-hmm. But we're seeing the Fantastic Four leave their world, and we're seeing them in Prime Earth, right?
In Prime
Earth 2027.
616, correct?
Yeah. But we're going to see them in modern time.
Like, so basically, first steps is to me a prequel.
Yeah.
To who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, all right, cool. This is the Fantastic Four we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Feige said, not a reboot, a reset.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think after Secret Wars,
mm-hmm.
that's when we'll probably hopefully get a finished off trilogy of them.
Mm-hmm.
So movies 2 and 3 for them are a sequel to their titular film. That's all I want. Like if we're like I said this last time or in one of the episodes of like, if they're going to try to treat movies like comic books, you know, either kill them or, or just give them a proper send off.
Yeah.
Because like that's
you have to sunset them eventually.
Because I feel like if MCU people who only watch the MCU and they're always like why is it always all over the place and that I'm like, have you guys even read or know how comic books
that's
are?
That's how you know.
It's like
that's how you
it's
know.
It's literally all over the place, and the randomness of people will cross over.
It's like that issue that we talked about where with Riri. Yeah. How like Blade, Mary Jane, Aunt May, yeah. like everybody showed yeah. up in one issue.
Yeah.
Which is like in quote unquote real time.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
So like now I'm excited to see what I guess Feige and them are going to do.
Yeah.
In this era, because obviously we talked about it of Disney wanting them to push out so much.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one yeah. of those exec producers left. I forgot her name.
Oh, really?
Remember that lady?
The crazy one.
Sure. Sure. I don't know. But it was like, it's like her, Louie, you know, I forget her name. It may start with a V. It's not like Vanessa or anything now, whatever.
I can't remember.
So like she left.
Yeah.
Now they're.
I mean, if she had anything to do with Star Wars, that might be.
And then like they're doing this reset, so I feel like Feige has now a clearer like mindset.
Yeah.
Because he's not being forced to push out all this content.
Yeah. And during strikes and during
yes,
he's a worldwide like, global pandemic.
Like, I feel like Disney's like probably like yeah. you know what, we should trust him. We should let him take the helm.
Yeah.
So
they can't.
And it's like,
WB.
Bro, like he's been doing this for 20 years. Like, yeah. He made you guys $1 billion.
As an intern that went up the ladder.
He made you guys $1 billion with Endgame and Infinity War. It's like, why would you?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, just let creators be creative.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully,
in a perfect world.
Yeah. Hopefully we get more just Fantastic Four, them leading the charge.
Because,
you know, Doom's a big baddie.
I hope they don't make him too big of a baddie. That's what I'm worried about.
You don't
about.
Want him to kind of like...
I don't think... Because they keep comparing him to Thanos and I'm like, he's not Thanos. No.
He is powerful though.
He's incredibly powerful.
Very powerful.
What makes him powerful is his intelligence. Yes. And they tried to touch on that in the second film with Rise of the Silver Surfer, but it still fell short.
Did you see... that thing at the Disney Shanghai event
from the comics. It's from the comics
of like, yeah.
Yeah. Of him pulling out Thanos' spine.
Yeah. Or just like this doom of like,
Whoa. Yeah. And so all that's comic sourced. But of course people are attaching it to Doomsday because it's during the Doomsday Illumination show or something. Yes. But I mean, even then to that point is that Doom holds a certain tier of resonance in the Marvel universe. And it's just not, I think at his base level, it's not a galactic proportion. You know what I mean? So I don't want them, and I hate this because they did the same thing with Kang, and they're like, oh, he's the MCU's biggest threat yet. And it's like, oh, now they're doing it with Doom. And it's like, it's okay to be like, he's only going to bring around for a few films.
In your eyes,
but
what is, not in MCU, but just I guess in comic lore in general.
Yeah.
What is Marvel's biggest
threat?
Baddie? Threat, I guess.
I mean, that's tough, right?
Mephisto?
I mean...
Mentally.
And that's the thing, right? Because they have different ways of approaching the superheroes. Exactly. So if you want
to
talk about...
But if you had to put a blanket on it, maybe a top two or three.
Oh, this is easy, actually. Onslaught.
That's the name.
His name is Onslaught.
Wow.
Age of Apocalypse. Yeah. He is the essentially like Magneto fused with Professor X.
Oh.
In the worst way imaginable.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's crazy. Have you played Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
Yeah, but I always stuck to just who I knew.
But he was like the end guy.
Can I remember?
Is he the end guy? I haven't played it so long. But Onslaught is like.
Okay.
Because he could do anything, you know. He's not only like
okay
master of magnetism but also the telepathic prowess is
okay yeah
Onslaught for sure. Oh wow, yeah, I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
That's why I'm here.
And he can go anywhere, right? He can do anything. But also yeah, Thanos is still formidable and he does exist in multiple dimensions or multiverses, so
that we've seen
right?
So
yeah. But yeah, I would say Onslaught.
So do you think in the MCU now, how many movies do you think Doom is across?
4. But see, and this is where it's tricky because it's like, is there going to be something before Doomsday? Is there going to be something before like, because I feel like I think Secret Wars is it. But then I'm still sticking to my guns. He's not the Prime Doom. I don't think he's the Prime Doom.
I was just thinking this as we were talking. Yeah. I was like, I feel like, yeah, RDJ is a Doom. Mm-hmm. But then
he's not
at the end of one movie or in the middle,
yep.
he gets killed
yep.
by whoever the Prime Doom is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that happens in Doomsday.
Yeah.
And we like, that's like, it. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Was Robert Downey Jr. announced as Dr. Doom? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's to mask the fact that they've already cast a 616 Doom.
And again, to everybody's point, is that there is a storyline that exists where Tony Stark becomes this Doom character, right? And so it's like, we still don't know if he's Victor Von Doom or if he's Tony Stark as Dr. Doom. Like, we don't know exactly who we're dealing with yet.
Yes.
So all the speculation and the hate toward it is like, you might want to settle down, kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I 100% believe that,
like,
there is...
Like, if I was, like, the Russo Brothers and, like, I see all that speculation that's happening and, like, I knew exactly what happened, what is happening, I'd be like, ooh, these guys don't even know.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, I don't trust anybody online. I don't find any of those, like, rage bait, clickbait people to be remotely right half the time.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, I'm just waiting for it. I'm just like, oh, if it happens on screen, I'm just going to be like, Latverian. It's not Robert Downey Jr. It's going to be somebody else.
I know.
Could be somebody
else.
It's
going to be.
Yeah. And so I'm waiting for that day, but
next year, right?
Yeah.
2027.
December 2026.
Six. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, and I believe it's because of Spider-Man. Mostly because of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is summer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's
Spider-Man's got the
July. So that's
going to
be their summer movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Hey, maybe. So, hey, maybe Doom is in that one. Like, makes like a.
Could be.
Like another post-credit scene.
That's
like
what I'm saying.
Like how they did the next Thanos in Guardians.
Yeah.
And they did Thanos in ended Avengers.
Yeah.
And then boom, setting up the winter movie.
Because it doesn't fit in Wonder Man. Doesn't fit in Daredevil.
Is there a beginning? There's no beginning. There is no beginning of year Marvel movie next year.
Mm-mm.
So it's just Spider-Man and Doomsday for movies.
Because Daredevil's taking the first slate.
Daredevil, Punisher, special presentation probably at some point.
Yeah. So shows are taking the first quarter, if you
next year is a big freaking year for them.
X-Men Season 2 also.
Next year's a big year for them. They might make a lot of money next year.
Well, they're going to have to one way or another, right?
They're going to have to.
Oh gosh! So yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm very curious, but I think there's a huge possibility we might see a connecting stinger at the end of Spider-Man that leads us to Doomsday, because that's the only thread left, and especially if they're not connecting the shows. So
yes,
guess we'll find out. Check back here.
Yes,
in just over a year.
I wish we knew.
I know. We will, though. That's the upside. We will. But just not now.
More Johnny, more Fantastic Four in the upcoming years. Yeah. And yes.
Let's go. So for suggested reading for this character, 2003's Human Torch solo series by Carl Kessel and Scotty Young. It's a little bit off the beaten path, but it introduced some, at the time, new nuances for the character in a modern era. Spider-Man and Human Torch by Dan Slott and Ty Templeto. So I like the series. I think I have all of it. It's only 5 issues long.
Mm.
But it's just a fun little arc with two of our favorite knuckleheads butting heads. Marvel snapshots from Evan Dorkin and team. And it focuses on, Human Torch's past, present, and future. It even involves a high school reunion, which covers the character pretty well. And then, of course, classic Fantastic Four back in the 60s, all the way upward of 300, particularly Fantastic Four number 285. I didn't want to mention this earlier. It's such a downer. But that issue is a classic Johnny tale in which he almost quits the team after a young fan lights himself on fire, attempting to
be
like
Johnny's
his favorite hero.
Oh my god, no! Yeah.
And he dies, obviously. He dies. And Johnny is so distraught and so destroyed by that.
Yeah, that would kill me.
Yeah.
That would kill me.
And it ties in, again, to the whole adoring public. He really, he needs the validation.
Yeah.
And that kind of turned him around, because he's like, oh, I don't want that kind of validation.
Yeah.
You know? Classic issue, Fantastic Four, 285. Definitely go get it. And with all that said, that is the end of the show. And thanks for listening. So our next episode, with Marvel Zombies surfacing, join us in 2 weeks where we'll discuss the series in all its gory glory, just in time for spooky season.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, a thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and a We Are Groot salute to Ariel, Chris, Jenny, Laura, Ed, Andrea, Andrew, Melanie, Katie, Joe, Liz, Nats, Tyler, Robin, Sherry, and Ashley. Follow us on social, STRKCNTRST, and if you experience some ads during this episode, you can unlock an ad-free version of the podcast by supporting us on Patreon. And if you like what you hear, please review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I get it. Johnny loves space. Johnny loves women.
What's the plan?
I'll get a charmer. Last question. So the surfboard, is that part of your body or is that...
So she dumped you already?